Okay, everybody said today's daf is daf ayin hey, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Amid. The final word on the line is ba'a. We get to the next line. Boi minei Rav Chanina bar Idi, mei Rav Ada bar Ahava. We first go away a little bit from inyanim of Karban Pesach, but we'll be very, very shortly back into Karban Pesach. So we first bring the following shayla. Taner sheisikoi beklipei orla ugrofoi v'ofa boi esapas ledivriya oiser mahu. We have a taner, an oven. We heated up the oven with klipei orla, with peels of orla fruit. Peels of orla fruit, just like the fruit themselves, are isurei hanoa. Okay? Ugrofoi, after he heated up the oven, he did what we call, we had the Hilchos Shabbos, Gruf Uktuma. They went and swept out all of the charcoals, all of the klipei orla, but naturally the oven still remained hot, as is typical. The offer boy is a pas, and now they baked a pas inside that tanner. The divrei oisema, what's the halacha according to Rebbe that holds yesh shvach etzem bepas, meaning earlier on in our Masechta, back on Daf Chavav, we had a machloikis between Rebbe and Rabban. What happens if you had such a tanner shesika beklipi arla, and the klipi arla remained inside the tanner, and at that time you went and baked a bread, or a challah, or a cake inside the tanner, and now are you allowed to go and eat from that pas? What's the shaila? The machloikis over there was, do you say yeshvach etzem pas? That the fact that the pas baked as a result of the heat emitted from these klipei arla, do you say that that's tangible? When you bite into the pas, it's as if you're biting into a shtikla klipei arla, which is osir b'hanah. Or do you say, come on, you're not biting into klipei arla. The klipei arla are consumed by the fire. Yes, you're having the benefit of the steam and the heat generated by the klipei arla, for sure. But then you hold ein shvach etzem bepas, that you don't really feel any tangible effect of the arla in the pas itself. When you're biting into the pas, you don't feel arla, and therefore it's mutter. So we had a machloikis Rebbe v'Rabban. Now the Gemara's kasha is that even according to Rebbe that holds yesh shvach etzem bepas, and therefore you would not be able to go and eat from that pas because of the fact that it was baked by klipei arla. But here you went and swept out the klipim, or klipois, even before you put the pas into the oven. So shaila is, what would Rebbe hold under those circumstances? Amalei hapas muteris. Here even Rebbe would concede to the Rabbanon that because there are no klipei arla be'en anymore, it's just the heat left over by the presence of the klipei arla 5 minutes ago, but they're no longer here, therefore it's mutalach, no problem. Amalei, so he said to him, l'choyra, this is shver from inzer halacha legabi korm pesach. The omer rav chinna saba omer rav asi omer rav yoichanan. Tanur shehi sikoi. What happens if you heated up a tanner, just like our case? Ugrafoi. And then they swept out all of the coals which were previously in the tanner. So now the tanner is empty. And now they put the carbon pesach inside. And it roasted and it broiled from the heat remaining from the original charcoals. Ein zetz liyesh. Since there is no fuel left, it's just the heat of the tanner, that's not sliyesh. Remember we had something similar yesterday, that the shbud had to be made out of wood and not out of metal, because if you have the benefit of the roasting as a result of the metal, it's not sliyesh, but sli machmas dover acher. And therefore that's the same type of situation here too, that it's sliyesh. When you take the carbon paste out, Pesach out a half an hour or an hour later, it's beautifully broiled. However, there wasn't any fire there. It was just the heat of the tanner that remained post the grifa, the shoveling out and the sweeping out of all the coals. So it's up to Yomar Ein Zitzliyesh. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk Tzliyesh twice. Where does it say Tzliyesh twice? So we have the benefit of Torah or Asholem. Number one, the Achlo Asabasa Balayla Zat Tzliyesh. And then we have the negative pasuk. Al toichu mimenu no uvashem uvushel b'mayim kiem tzli eish shoy. So you have two tzliyeshes. Zoktimar shnemet tzliyesh tzliyesh shtei pa'amim, and therefore we have a real kepeda, a real hakpada, that it must be the benefit of esh. Here it's not esh, it's just the hot air left over by the esh that was here previously, and therefore, no good. This carbon pesach cannot be, you can't be yoytzi in midst of carbon pesach because it wasn't sliyesh. Zoktimar taimed de gol rachman sliyesh. Tzli'esh shtei pa'amim. Because Rabbi Yochanan was makbid to tell us that it says tzli'esh twice, so it shows that the Torah is really, like the Gemara says often in Kodshim, shana olav akosav li'akev. This is really important. It's got to be esh. Mashma, that's because it says it twice. Holy goli rachmana. What happens if you'd only have one pasuk tzli'esh? Have a minute tzli'esh. That's also enough. That would also be called tzli'esh. So when it only says one time tzli'esh, that would be sufficient. Aha. So if that's the question, if that's the case, getting back to our case of the klipei orla, it doesn't say tzli'esh over there twice. In fact, it doesn't even say tzli'esh once. The point is, you took the klipei orla and you burned them, and now there's a tremendous heat in this tanner. You were goyer if you went and swept out all the remaining colds generated by the klipei orla, but you still have that heat. And had it been the carbon pesach situation, you would have a tzliyesh. And we said that gabi carbon pesach would have been okay. It's just it says tzliyesh twice. But if we would say it once, that would be tzliyesh. That would be esh. No, I bazoi. So why do you say by the pas that it's mutter? Because we removed the fuel element, we were goyre, if we swept out the klipei orla, what difference does that make? It's still considered to be tzli'esh. So you still have yesh shvach eitzim apas. You still feel the fire of the klipei orla. They're not present at this particular moment, but you still have the tangible effect of the klipei orla that was there a minute ago. The best arai is the gabi korm pesach, had you swept it all out, which is the case of Rabbi Yochanan Tanish Yisika Begorfai. Had it not spoken, had Rabbi Yochanan not emphasized the fact that the Torah says Tzli'esh twice, if we'd only say Tzli'esh once, we would say, that's Tzli'esh, that's fine, that's kusha. You don't have to have a real big fire flaming and flackering. As long as you had the flame there 5 minutes ago, that's enough. It's still Tzli'esh. So here too, even though the klipei orla have been swept out, you should say the klipei orla are still here, and they're still causing this pus to rise. It should be osir according to Rebbe. You should say yeshvach itzim bepas. Everything more omale goli rachmona hasam yalfina mina. In other words, like we say often, it's a binyan av. Meaning, you're right. Karim Pesach says sli'esh twice, and it comes to tell you that by Karim Pesach there has to be a real fire. And if there's no real fire, this Karim Pesach is no good. And if you eat it, you're over an isser because you're not eating sli'esh. Zayigit. Now that we have codified in the Torah this halacha as spelled out and enunciated by Rabbi Yochanan, now we're going to apply this kolatera kula. Everywhere else in the Torah, the same halacha applies. That what? As if it says sli'esh twice, and if there's no flame, is gunish, it's not an esh. And just like the Karm Pesach, it's not an esh. Here too, by the tanim at the klipei orla, once you swept it out, it's an ishkan esh. There is now no tangible effect of the arlo was there 5 minutes ago. That's history. But it's not here now. And therefore, when you're baking the pasta, you do not have the fire of the klipei arla. You only have the warmth of the oven. That's the reason why it's mutter. So it's not that we have a kasha from Karm Pesach, but in fact, we have a support for Karm Pesach. That just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu said by Karm Pesach, that the tzliyesh shteipon to go and tell us that it only has the status sliyesh if there is esh, only if there's still fire there. Shoin, it's only klipei orla if there's still fire. If there's no fire because you swept it all out, then it's going to be mutter pas muters.
I really appreciate, sometimes it's an exception. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like you said, bin and out.
I agree with you. Unless the Gemara tells us, we have no way of knowing in ourselves. This is a mesoira that the Gemara knows, and in fact, the fact that the Gemara says Navi Boyesema, the Gemara is going on the other side. The Gemara is saying Hosad Taim because Rachman is Liyesh Tepam. Einachanami. There it's Taka because it says twice. And now, remember, it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan that made the Diak. Oh, Taim to go to Rachman, it's two times. But rather, we're going to make the same Diak, but a little bit differently. Taim to go to Rachman is Liyesh Tepam. Holy Kosar Rachman is Liyesh Tepam. Have a mina a Eish Kopid Rachman. I might have thought that it's only because it says Tzli Eish twice. However, it would only say Tzli Eish once, then I would have said, you know what? This would be a good Karban Pesach, and you can eat it. Why? Because the Torah was makbid that it should be fiery hot. It doesn't say Tzli Eish twice, right? According to this Havan. Only said it once. I would say at Eish Karban Rachmanim, meaning that it should be burning hot from a flame, from a fire that was there. It doesn't have to be present at this very moment. It doesn't say twice, it just says once. So as long as you still have the benefit of the heat in the oven from that fire, I would say Vafila Gorfei Nami. Even if you went and swept it out, it would also Tzli Eishu. It would still constitute Tzli Eish, and it would be a good kosher Karban Pesach. Avol Hachem, when you're talking about Orla, Aetim Li Surka Kapar Rachmana. The Torah says, Areilim Yulachem, and it says multiple times the word Areilim, and the Gemara Darshan said it's not only Asim B'Achila, it's Asim B'Ano. Aetim of the Klipi Orla happened to be awesome, and therefore Kapar Rachmana the Torah is makbid. V'alesnu, and at this moment, guess what? They are all burnt to crisp. There's nothing left from the Klipi Orla. So, and in fact, and they were swept out as well. V'alesnu, so there's nothing left. So it could very well be that the Torah would say a pas muteres. So there's a different focus or different emphasis when it comes to Karban Pesach and when it comes to Orla. The guy with Karban Pesach, the emphasis is Tzli Eish, and so therefore it means it's got to be broiled by a fire. It had the benefit of the fire, even though you were Goyreif, if it had not said twice, it only said once, I would say that's already sufficient, because it's obviously the fire that was there a minute ago, that's what's causing this Karban Pesach to broil. If there had not been the coals previously, no fire, then they wouldn't broil. So I would say that's sufficient, but it says Tzli Eish twice, no good. The Klipi Orla, the Iker over there is the only Isser is because I have the Eitzim, I'm having a Noah from the Eitzim. Once I went and swept them out, there's nothing left. There's no longer Hakpad, and therefore it's what? Tana Rabbana. Now we go back straight to Karban Pesach. Instead of putting the Karban Pesach in its entirety from beginning to end on the spit, like we had in the Mishnah yesterday, that you're soiling as a Pesach, Mavi and Shpud, the Toichvoy, the Toichpid. Ad base nukubasa, you have it hanging on the spit from end to end. When I'm chatochoy, you went and cut it into pieces, not into 100 pieces. Rashi says 2 or 3 pieces. Lehidol chatochoy b'shnai m'shloishim akoymois lemaritz liyosei. Rashi about a quarter down the omid, you went and cut into 2 or 3 large segments because after all, people are hungry. People want to eat the Karban Pesach, so you cut it up and you put it on the gecholim. He didn't put on a spit. He didn't put it on a grill. Grill would be machmas dover acher. Here we're talking al gabi cholim on the charcoals themselves. Question is it now a kosher Karban Pesach or not? Rebbe, oimer, ani, shezet sli eish. Dos is good. That's a perfectly acceptable Karban Pesach. Sli eish doesn't mean it has to be dafka on a spit. Doesn't have to be roasted as a result of the flame and the fire which is flackering inside the oven. It's enough that you put on the gecholim. That does a good trick. It's Sliash. Romale Rabbi Chaduya bar Ami Rav Chisda. Mi Omer Rebbe Gecholim Eish Nenu. What Rebbe is telling us is a charcoal that is the same halacha as actual fire, actual flames inside the oven. Is that case? Or a minute I'll ask you a kasha. The Pasuk tells us in the middle of Parshas Metzora that one of the Negoyim is by the Michvas Eish. If we look at the Torah Ora Sholim number 3, if a person on his flesh, on his skin, he has michvas eish, and michvas eish means he has a blemish as a result of fire, a fire wound, and now you see that it looks like it's healing, and guess what? Instead of developing a normal scab so that it heals normally, like one would expect, you have Nebuch growing out of it, Beheris Levona Adam Demes Oy Levona, one of the simonim of a Nega Tzeras, and the Torah tells us what you have to do by a Metzora that has such a Nega. Okay, now notice in this Pasuk it refers to Michvas Eish, and by the way, as we'll note in the Gemara shortly, it says in the same Pasuk Michvas second time, V'hoysa Michyas HaMichva. Michva over here means basically a blemish or a burn that occurred as a result of Eish, as a result of fire. Is Zokti Moriminu. You, Rebbe, just finished saying now that when it says in the pasuk tzli esh, that includes gecholim. Esh and gecholim are, if you will, synonymous, or at the very least, gecholim is a subset of esh. Page 1 minute, michwas esh, hinli elish nichva beish. I only know the halacha of negoyim, of a negatras, growing out of that michwas esh. The beheris levana demdemis oy levana. If it was nichva that the person Nebuch got burned as a result of a flame, in other words, Nebuch, he was standing next to a bonfire, or Rachmon Islan, fire broke out in his home, Rachmon Islan, and Nebuch, he got all burned with first degree burns, third degree burns, and therefore Nebuch, he has a terrible burn on a part of his body, and grew out of that was Nebuch the negatzeras. So says Zimura, that's pashit mechvasesh. What happens if it was nichva? The burn was not as a result of direct contact with the fire, but rather it was kind of a secondary contact. It was begacheles, it was with a hot charcoal, or beremetz, with hot ash, besidreisech, hot lime, begifsisreisech. The art scroll says that hot gypsum, and he says gypsum is similar to lime. Or anything else that is a derivative of heat or of a fire. Chamior means Nebuch burning hot water. In other words, you have water that's cooking, let's say, in a pot, and it's bubbling, and you can see the steam coming up. It's really, really hot. And Chas V'Shalom, a person puts his hand in it, or Nebuch, the pot spills over on the person. Unfortunately, from time to time, you hear Nebuch stories about children and babies and stuff like that. They never get such hot, boiling hot water falling on them. Cholila, that's a tremendous sakana. So what happens if a person has such a michva, but not michvas eish, but the chamior related to the eish, a derivative of the eish? Minayin, how do I know that that's also included? Tamaloymer, michva, michva, riba. Oh, we had in the same pasuk two michvas, like we said before, michvas eish, voice michyas hamichva, twice the word michva. Okay, so we had to have the ribuy of twice. Taimed Rabbi Rachmana michva michva. Tafka says it twice. Halei Rachmana michva michva. If it would only say once, then I would say only eish, and I would not include kacheles and remetz and sidrei seach and gifsis reseach and chamior, only because it says it twice. So I see from that lechayv that gecholim lav eish ninu. I see kacheles is not called eish, because if kacheles were called eish, then it shouldn't say ein li'elish nichva be'eish, but nichva be'gacheles and all the others minayin. What do you mean? Gacheles tosach eish. Gacheles is just the same thing as fire. Is a chesim and gacheles is not the same as fire. If gacheles is not the same thing as fire, since there is a hakpada by Korban Pesach, that it's got to be dafka sli'eish and dosach nishkan eish. So how is Rebbe Matir to go and cook and broil and roast the Korban Pesach on cold?
I would say the same thing. It's a minyan av.
Right. It's the same structure. And we should have a boisema, right?
And therefore, if you want to look, Mendy, parallel to our Gemara, see the Tosfos that starts off halav hachi gacheles leikri eish near l'rajva tamu matzila meini goli rachmanim b'michla v'gamir meinei. You see, that's your kasha. Says boro shikivante. Okay, zukti more weiter. Amalaisi gede teres kacheles shel eitz loy istrich kro lerebuye. There's no question Rebbe would hold that kacheles and eish are basically synonymous. Come on, kacheles, this is fire. You touch chas v'shalom a hot charcoal, it's gefährlich. Well, it's by Moshe Rabbeinu, the famous medrash, he touched the charcoal, put it in his mouth, and that's how he became a kvad peh. He wasn't able to talk for the rest of his life normally, never, because he burned it. Famous story in the Medrash. But anyway, that's a double pashut. When it says over here in this pasuk, nichvid b'gachelis, you're talking about gachelis shel matches. Now, gachelis shel matches is somewhat of a misnomer, because a gachelis means a coal or charcoal, and this is a matches of metal. Metal doesn't become a charcoal at the end. It's not like a piece of wood. First you had this hard piece of wood, gesundheit, and then you let it go and burn, and then it becomes nice little pieces of coal to charcoal. A matkes, it burns, it's burning hot, and unless it's twice 1,000 degrees, it doesn't melt, it just remains very, very hot, and eventually it cools off. So that's the type of gecheles that we're talking about, the chulila v'chas, that if somebody touched such a hot piece of metal, those is the michva that I marbe through the second time. However, gecholim shel eitz, that's like tzliyesh itself. That's the teretz according to Rebbe. Tzliyesh includes gecholim. And this kachelis that we said, nechve kachelis minayin, let's talk about kachelis shell matkis. Feiti mora, b'cholim shel matkis lav eishu, im kachelis shel matkis is ashtik eish. V'gabi bas koyin d'chsiv, bo eish tisurev. We know that if chas v'sholom a bas koyin is mezana, it's different than if a bas Yisrael is mezana. Bas Yisrael, when she's an arusa, is a din of
skila.
A bas, a nesua, and I'm Baskoi. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bas Yisrael, who's in the sewer, what's the din? Chenik. Chenik. So now we have the din over here of Chas V'Sholem, a Baskoyin that's Mezana. The pasuk is Be'ish Tisarif. Whether it's talking about Narusa or Nesua or both, that's not our Gemara. That's in fact a machloikis elsewhere. But for purposes in of our Gemara, all we need to know is that a Baskoyin that was Mezana, there's no din of a Bas Yisrael's Misa, but Be'ish Tisarif, she has a din of Tzreifa. Now, when we think of the word tzreifa, we think of you put somebody chas v'sholom into a bonfire and you light it up, and chalila the person burns. However, yomer masna, the way you do it is you take a psila shel aver, a psila shel avor, which means you take molten lead, and nebuch, you go and pour it down the throat nebuch of this lady, and rachmon leslan, she passes away as a result of the molten lead doing its thing internally in her body. Psila shel aver hoyu oisala. How is that an eish? Didn't the Torah say ba'eish tisarif? Ba'eish, you got to do it in fire. Tuzlach mishkafai. You just told me now that I only know that it's considered to be eish by the michvas eish because it says michva twice. Here it doesn't say it twice. So then the question is, how can you use it? Is the chassim that even gachelis shel matchis is considered to be ba'eish tisarif? So what do I need now? The special limit of the double michva. Everything was shani also the yom akrov ba'eish tisarif. And Rashi says the pasuk could have finished off with the word ba'esh. If you look at number 4, uvasish koyin kisecha liznois nebuch she's mezana esavia imachalel es ba'esh. The halacha is nebuch you have to go and burn her. Why does it say ba'esh tisarev? That extra tisarev the Rambam is cold sarev is a boy's manesh. Even esh derivatives, not only esh directly, a filler, a derivative of mesh. And therefore says the Gemara, that's why the psila shel avor shleiver also is esh for our purposes. So basically, it's the same as by the case of michva. Michva, we have twice the word michva, to be marbe the gachelis shel matchis, and here it says ba'esh, and it says tisarev, it's as if it also has a double lashem, it's not really double. Rashi says the word tisarev is the rabbi's kolas reifes, we didn't need the word tisarev at all, it's a totally ibrik of art, extra word, and that superfluous word comes to tell you all different types of reifes, even gachelis shel matchis. So each time you have a riboy, here from the double michva, here from the extra word tisarev. Good. Frank Di Mariet, so you're telling me that the psila shel eva works because that's also considered to be esh. But the coach can, but Vadi, you would agree with me that esh atma is really esh. That's certainly esh with a capital aleph. There's no question about that. So Ibazoi, by the Baskoyan, why are we giving this funny type of esh psila shel eva, which is also esh? Why don't we do the real McCoy? Menakev lo chavilis moiris v'nikla. Why don't we just go and put around her all types of flammable types of stuff? V'nikla nebuch, burn her at the stake. Why don't we do that type of sreifa? Everything I'll tell you why, because asya sreifa, sreifa b'nei ahar. As we know, nebuch li b'nei aharin, nebuch, no the v'aviyu, nebuch were killed, and the Torah says ba'esh, where nebuch was sreifa. So we learn out one from the other, sreifa, sreifa, mal halon, sreifa, shemba, guf kaim, afkan, sreifa, shemba, guf kaim. Although it doesn't say b'feish in the Torah, but Chazal learned this in Mesech de Sanhedrin. Rashi quotes from the Mesech de Sanhedrin, kimin beis chutin shel esh, nichnasu lehem b'choit meyen. Yeah, these two, like threads of fire, like bolts of fire, or what have you, went into the choitman, they went into their nose and their nostrils, nebuch went into the body. So from the outside, they looked totally normal. It was guf kayim, but nebuch sreif in the shom, all of the innards nebuch burned to the crisp. And say for the same thing, the gabe, the baskoyim, we learned one from the other. Faitim of a navid lo chamia or, I have another way of doing this sreifas in the shom of a guf kayim. Instead of taking the lead and heating it up and letting her swallow it and go down, molten lead, chas v'sholom rachmon leslan, you go and just put her into a very, very hot bath, a hot bath which is more than 212 degrees, or maybe 212 is the maximum for boiling water, where it's so hot, and then if you put the person cannot survive in that, and the person dies. After you retrieve the body is still guf kayin. It's probably red for a while, but yes, it got boiled, nebuch, but it's sreif in the shevig of kayin. Why don't we do it that way? Says the Gemara, you're right, we could have theoretically inflicted this type of sreifa on the bas koyim. However, Mishum Rav Nachman, Yom Rav Nachman, Amar Kretz, the possible have to react to kamoicha. Berar loy misa yafa. Even though Nebuchadnezzar's son, this woman has sinned, but she's still a member of Klal Yisrael, and therefore we still have to go and show whatever ahava that we can, and that's therefore we go and try to give a better type of misa, not a misa Nebuch putting a person into boiling water, which is must be terrible, terrible agony. Rahman al-Islam. Rather, we go and pour the molten lead, which presumably is not as gruesome as never boiling a person to death. So, Timar Chemiach and the Ikar of Nachman, Kzeir Shavu Lomeli. What the Gemara now basically is saying is, so we have two good reasons why we poured down the molten lead, as opposed to, for instance, being makif b'chavilei zmoirais, burning her at the stake. And that's because of Sreifa, Sreifa that we learn from Bnei Aharon. And we have a second good reason of this Bror Lemisiyof, that's why we don't go and burn the Baskoin by putting into boiling water. So the question is, what, do I really need both Limudim? Wouldn't it be enough to just go and say one of the two? Mechiach, the Iker of Nachman, Gzeir Shavu Lomeli. The reason why we don't burn the Baskoin at the stake with Chavilei Moirois, putting aside Bnei Aharon, even if there was no such Gzeira Shavu Sreifa Sreifa. The reason is because that's very gruesome, Chas V'Shalom, burning a person, terrible. Much better to go and put in Psila Shalaver. So Gzeira Shavu Lomeli. So Dima'am, Ilav Gzeira Shavu Hava Minas Sreifa Seshem Gav Kaim Lav Sreifi. That is to tell us that that also constitutes Sreifa. Because I might have thought it's true that the person burns and the Nebuch the person dies, but is that called Sreifa? Is that called Eish? You look at the body, you don't see any indication whatsoever the person is burned. You know, you think to yourself, burning means a charred body that Nebuch is black and is at all Rahman Litzlan, like a charred piece of wood that burned, like a charred house of Chas V'Shalom burned. You would expect to go and see that a charred body. It's a totally normal body, just a molten lead. That's called Sreifa. That's when you need the Sreifa Sreifa from an Ahar to tell you, that's also constitutes Sreifa. If you'd only have Rav Nachman alone, I would think maybe we should go and not just put on 3 or 4 Chavilas Moiris, put on 100 Chavilas Moiris, that the person should pass away in 30 seconds instead of after 5 minutes. It should go Ba'agola. Where Ba'agola is like we have in Kaddish. Ba'agola is Man Karev. We hope the Mashiach is going to come. Ba'agola quickly. Whose mind karev immediately, etc. So I might have thought that's the way to go and do it. Abror lemisiyofa, get it over with. 1, 2, 3. Kamash malon. That's the reason why we have both the svar of Rav Nachman, Abror lemisiyofa, and we have the pasuk sreifa sreifa to go and tell us that the way that Chas V'Shalom we execute a bas koyin shizinsa is with pesila shalaver. Feitimor v'lebeish. Lomeli, so Ibazoi, what do I even need the word Ba'esh for? Since the Gemara said, it's not because I have twice Mikvah, or because I have once Ba'esh and the second time Tisarev. It's because the word Tisarev is totally superfluous. And I learned from Tisarev that Rabbi is called Sreifos and Ba'esh Min Ha'esh. You know what? Take away the word Ba'esh and just let it say Tisarev in the Pasuk. Uvaskoy Yisechan Liznois, Ezavim Mechaleles Tisarev. What do I need the Ba'esh for? So tomorrow, lafuke aver me'ikaroi. When you are going and taking out of the quarry, you're extracting the lead. Molten lead from the ikaroi, from the quarry, from the mine. It is burning hot at that time. It's not hot as a result of putting it into a flame and letting it heat up. It's burning because that's the way it comes out of the ground naturally. Really? That, here, try it out. Go to Virginia, West Virginia, those places where they have these mining quarries. And you'll see that they come out, you see the steam, you see the heat coming out of the ground, out of these quarries. And therefore, I would have thought that maybe that would also work. That's also Tisarev. The person can get, you touch that chulin, you can go and burn yourself.
So it's like molten lava? I mean, this is...
It's not like lava. Lava is already that it is in the form of a liquid. But this is very, very hot. Gets up to like 500, 600, 700 degrees. Try it out. Go and go for a tour of one of those metal quarries and you'll see. Anyway, so I might have thought that even the Yikorai would also constitute Tisarev. It does Sreifa. That's why I said, but Tisarev, that this does not qualify because it wasn't heated up by fire. All the cases that we brought that we were marbe in the case of the Mikvasesh and ultimately in the case of the Baskoyin is all talking about that there was a fire, but instead of burning the person or the skin or the Baskoyin in fire, we did it from a fire derivative. Here there's not a fire derivative, this is the way Aver is created from the quarry naturally. You're going to tell me whoever is Baishti Sarif, it comes to be Marba. All different types of Sreifis, which are the derivatives, the product of Eish. For Gabi Paraman is Ravim, the Chsib Behu, the Sarif Oisel Eitzim Baish. The Tanya Be'esh will be Sidrisech, will be Gifsis Risech, etc. Now, what is this case of Paraman Esrafim? As you all know, there are three cases of Paraman Esrafim. What are the cases of Paraman Esrafim? There's one that's every single year, that's on Yom Kippur. We have the Paraman Esrafim, the Seiraman Esrafim, that's on every single Yom Kippur. There's only one Par and one Soir, but over the years you have Parim and Seirim. Okay, so what's the din? Normally, by your regular Karm Chatos, it's a kizbo seira. That's your regular commoner brings a kizbo seira. What do you do with it? After the shechita mizrika, you go and divide it up the aimer and go on the mizbeach, and the rest of the karm is eaten by the kohen. However, a par that is brought on Yom Kippur by the kohen gadol, it says in the Torah, no. Here you don't go and eat from the karm chatzos. Not even after Yom Kippur, after the fast. But what do you do with the remainder, the basar of that carbon? Basar of Oisrael, eight simba eish. We have number six here on the side. V'hoitiyas kala parah michus l'machna. You take out the entire part that was now gishachten. You did all the zrika sadam, lefnai v'lefnim, and lefnim, and etc. Lefzbeacha pnimi, and in front of the paroiches, the alagut zachin. How many zrikas were there altogether?
It's 43, 44, 47.
Very good, or 48, depending on whether or not you consider the shvichas of the shirayim also. Exactly. So I just call a party, take it all out, and because of Machna, El Mokim Tor, El Shefach HaDeshen, you put in Shefach HaDeshen. Shefach HaDeshen is the place where, when there was a lot of Deshen that accumulated on the Mizbeach, we're not talking about the daily Trumas HaDeshen, because Trumas HaDeshen you just put on the floor right next to the Kevesh. The reason why you did that, it was more symbolic than anything else, and that was swept up, not was swept up, it was absorbed naturally, or I should say miraculously, into the ground, and you never had to clean it away. That deshen remained there and finished. It was nivla. Mashenkin, when there was a very large amount of deshen that accumulated on the mizbeach, because there were many, many karbanas, and remember the Gemara gives one guzma, they had 300 kor of deshen, so then they would cart it out, and they would put it out michutz l'machne, on a place called the Shefach HaDeshen. The reason why it's called Shefach HaDeshen is because they poured out the deshen on that spot. So on that spot, you're supposed to go and take out the par, the sarif, oyseil, eitzim, oyseil, Shefach HaDeshen, yisarif. That's what we have in the pasuk. Shai. Fine. This doesn't only apply to the par of Yom Kippurim. There are two other parim just like that.
Par
Kohen Mashiach and the par Hel Tovim Shatzibur, or the Gemara calls it also par Habar Kol Mitzvahs, which is referring to the par Kohen Mashiach as the Kohen Gadol unfortunately erred by doing an Aveira that normally if you did it b'mezid you'd get Chas V'Shalom Koreis. If you did a B'Shoigeg you bring a Karm Chatas, because we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. What's the halacha? He doesn't have a din of a kamer bring a kizbo seir. He has to go and bring a par. And the same thing is, if Gans Klal Yisrael sinned based on a faulty psak of the Bezin HaGadol, they also have to bring a par. Whether they only bring one par or one par per shevet, that's a sugya, so we have Mesechus Hoyrius. But we don't have to get into that today. The point is that those are Purim HaNisrafim. No part of it is eaten by the Kohanim, certainly not by the Baalim, but rather it is burned Mechutz HaMachne on that Shefach HaDesh. Okay, so it says in the pasuk, the sarif oisel eitzim ba'esh. And what happens if you didn't want to go and burn it in actual fire, but you wanted to use a fire derivative? Matanya ba'esh. V'loy b'sidrei seach, if you want to go and pour molten hot lime on it, which can be burning hot. V'loy b'gifsim, or gifsis reiseach, that's boiling hot gypsum, which is apparently similar to lime. What's that look over there? No, it's got to be ve'esh, v'loy b'sidr seich, v'loy b'gipsum seich. Aha, I don't understand. But over there it also says the lashon of sreifa. Didn't we say that it says this extra word sreifa? You have both esh and sreifa. So we learn from tisarif, like the Gemara said before, l'rabbis kol sreifa is a boy's one esh. So why don't we say over here that you yoitza burning the parim anisrafim by pouring on or having them dipped into hot lime or hot gypsum? And presumably we would say the same thing, putting into hot boiling water or something like that. Shouldn't that also constitute a sreifa? You know, you cannot compare. Why can't you compare? Hosam ksiv bo'esh b'hodo tisarif l'rabbis kol sreifes abois machmas esh. Hoch ksiv b'sarif oisel eitzim bo'esh l'psoif esh Remember the Eish in, Midachrin alai. So what the Gemara tells us is it depends on the order of the Pasuk. So does it say Ba'esh first and then Tisarev second? Or does it say Basara first and Ba'esh second? What difference does that make? So although the Gemara doesn't go into it, but we have a very, very similar concept in the Yud Gimel Midis of Rabbi Shmuel. We have something called a Prat and Klal, and we have a Klal and Prat. What's the din of Klal and Prat? Klal and Prat, Ein B'Klal Ela Masha B'Prat. The Torah says, a Klal, yes, you have to do Sreifa, Sreifa, Sreifa. Ooh, I can think of 100 different ways of burning something. But Eish, no, Prat's got to be Dafka fire. So we start off with a Klal, we end off with a Prat. Ein B'Klal Ela Masha B'Prat. Don't have in mind these 100 universal ways of burning. Only Ba'esh. On the other hand, you have what's known as a Prat Uklal. When you have a Prat Uklal, Noisif, the Klal comes in Moisif ala Prat, and you marbe kol mili. Then you marbe everything, any type of Sreifa, because the Torah starts off with Ba'esh. Oh, it's just a very narrow, limited case of real fire. Ooh, then it's a Tisarev. Ooh, that opens up the floodgates. Nasa klal moisif ala prat marbe kol mili. Then, of course, you have the klal of prat, the klal, then it's doima la prat, but we're not talking about that now. So that's what the Gemara is essentially saying. If you look at the last Tosfos, he also goes into this klal of prat and prat to klal. But the point is, what the Gemara says is nochmal. Hochi hashta, three lines to the bottom. Hosim ksiv ba'esh. Ba'esh is just very limited, just esh. Vada tisarev, oh. Now it's the Prat, and now the grace of Klal, Moisef ala Prat, the Rabbi's called straight to the Moisef Machal Eish. It's now Marba, everything, the floodgates are open. Not only in case of Eish, but even, like the Gemara said before, you have the, I'm sorry?
The lead.
The hot lead, and the hot gypsum, and the, like we had by the Michva Beish, we had also all of those cases of the hot kachelis and the remets, all those wonderful things, even the hot water. That's what we call now anything that burns chas v'shalom. So that's when you start a ba'esh and you end off the sarif. Here it's the other way around. Hachik said the sarif oisay leitim ba'esh. So we're starting off the sarif, all different types of sreifa, and then we say lebesayif eish. Remember the eish in media chrina light.
It also says ala el eitim, which also is, I mean, it's already limiting it. It's saying it's burn the remains of the parim.
So what's your kasha?
You don't need. I mean, it's already so particularized by saying you're burning them al eitzim, and not on boiling water. And
so you're being moist from the Gemara.
But it doesn't even need to. You don't even need to come to that, because in that case of parim esrafim, it says al eitzim ba'esh.
Yeah.
It's already limited. What's the thought? I mean, you don't have
maybe you heat up the lime on the eitzim, and then you go and put the par into that lime. It's again a direct, just like lime is derivative. I understand. Maybe you heat up the lime on eitzim. You make a big, big fire, and then in that fire, what was the fuel of the fire? Was the eitzim, and now you heat up the lime. But what I thought you were going to ask is a little bit differently. What's the Gemara answering? The Gemara's answering is the sarif oisal eitzim ba'esh. Although the Sreifa came first, and that opens up the floodgates, all type of Sreifa, but we end off Beish. It's got to be only Eish. But then the Pasuk continues on, Al Shefa Chadesh and Yisareif, another Lashon of Sreifa. Right. So then why don't we go and say, that Yisareif again comes to be Marba, all the Lashonis of Sreifa. See, Mor is going to ask that on the Amid base. Right now, we'll see right now. Anyway, so bottom line, Zokti Gemara, what's the Gemara? It's Teretz. We asked why by the Parim HaNisrafim don't you say that you can be Yoitz upon Nisrafim with other types of Eish derivatives? Just like we said by the Baskoyan, you can be Yoitz with an Eish derivative like the Gacheles Shel Matches, that Psilo Shel Ever. The Gemara answers because it depends. If it says Eish first, it says Vesara first. Okay, good. Freitimor Hasan Nami. There by the Parma Nisrafim also says Ksiva Sreifa. It also says Sreifa Libisoif. Why the Ksiv, like the Pasuk continues on, like we just pointed out a minute ago, Al Shiva Kadesh and Yisareif. So why don't you say that Yisareif at the end comes to open up the floodgates, any type of Sreifa? Just like we said by the Bas Koyin, it says Bo'esh Yisareif. Here's Al Shiva Kadesh and Yisareif. It should be Marbe Kol Mine, derivatives of Eish. I need taka that Yisarev for other drushes. What are the other drushes? Yisarev alba misha ein sham deshen. Yisarev alfa pisha hitisa or berubai. What does all that mean? We say in the pasuk hashefa chadeshen Yisarev. So now we conjure up in our minds that when they are carting out the par to go and burn a meshefach hadeshen, that you're going to get there and you're going to see the mounds and mounds of ash which have accumulated over time from all the kabbanis that were brought on the mizbeach, and you're going to have to find room for it. You're going to have to dump the par on top of all, or place the par on top of all the ash. Guess what happens? You come there and you find, miracle of miracles, there is no deshen. Why was there no deshen? There was a storm yesterday, a big hurricane and big heavy winds, and they blew all the ash away and they blew it into the sea somewhere else. So nishdo meka deshen. So maybe I can't be yoit, and maybe I can't do it. It's got to be a shefach deshen. That's what Yisarev comes to tell you. I'll be shein shem deshen. Yisarev, he still should go and burn it, even if there's no deshen left from before. But moreover, there's another drasha from Yisarev. What happens if those that brought the par to go and burn it michutz l'machne on the shefach deshen, they were there, they stayed there for half an hour, and they saw that the flames are really consuming the par? They didn't consume it yet 100%, but they're already there at the 70%, 80%, rubai kikulai. I would think that now all the people that were involved can go home. After all, yeah, we did our job. Yeah, another, I don't know if they stick around for another half an hour or another hour. Hey, you saw that the flames are doing a great job. It's going to consume it. So I might have thought, kamashvul and yisarev, you got to wait until the very, very, very end. So you look at the Rashi, second of the narrow lines, alpha bishahut is a harba rubai, is askaboy. Actually, become a sreifa. You gotta be there, and you have to wait there until the whole sreifa is over. You may have to turn it over a couple of times. It should be consumed on all sides. You can't just say rubik kulai. You gotta stay there. So, bottom line is, I need that yisara for extra drashas, and I don't need it, or I cannot use it to go mimarbe shar in yoni sreifa, like the hot lime and the hot water and all the other things that we marbe on the omid aleph. And now, an appropriate question that Reb Mendel would ask at this point, how do you know? Maybe you should learn Yisarev over here, all to go and tell you those other types of Sreifa, and not to go and tell you the din of Shefach Hadesh, and not to tell you Hitzazar Barubai. And again, that's all Masoida that we learn Halacha L'Moshe Mishina, not what the classic Halacha Mishina, but this is all generation after generation that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Yeshua, and Yeshua to the Zakenim, etc., etc., Nehemiah, and that's how it gets down to our Gemara, that's the Masoida, that's what you dash in this Yisarev. Good. Anyway, with this, we have concluded the first Teretz. Remember, we started off with a Shtarka Kasha on Rebbe. Rebbe said that if you want to do a proper tzliyesh, you don't have to put a spit, you can go and cut it into sections and put it on the gecholim. And the Gemara says, how can you put it in the gecholim? I see from the case of Michvas Eish that that's not real Eish. That's only because it says Michva twice. But if you just say Eish one time, you wouldn't be Yoitza with that. It only says it twice. So what did the Gemara answer? Yeah, that's from a gecholim shel matchis. But a gecholim shel Eish, that's real Eish. That was Teretz number one. And then we got a little bit off on a tangent talking about Baskoyin and Parmenas Rafa. But now we come back to the original Kasha, and Ravina Omar, Ravina says, I have an easy answer. There's a slight mistake in that halacha that we were quoting on the Omid Aleph. Kroich v'toni, michvas eish, ein li ele she nichva be'eish, u'begachalas. Nichva beremet, b'sid reseach, b'kifsis reseach, v'chol dove abom, b'tachas ur, b'sich ha'me'or, minayin, tamaloimam nichva, michva riba. What is the Gemara saying? What Ravina has done is he's taken the word nichva and he's moved it over one word. If you go back to the Amud Aleph just for a short moment, you'll see how did we start off our kasha. It was a little bit past halfway down the Amud where the Gemara says Urimini. It's parallel to the Toisvis of Halav Hochi Gacheles. Zok the Gemara Urimini im Mechvaseish Aniela Shenichva Be'eish. That's the only thing I know, a heat burn from actual flames, actual fire. How do I know? Nichva begachelis beremetz besidri seach beram beram beram. How do I know? Because it says michva twice. Says Ravina, this is a faulty brisa. Faulty in the sense that there is an error in, it's a typo. What's the typo? The word nichva that appears, nichva begachelis, take that word nichva, lift it, and now go and remove it from that spot and reinsert it after the word begachalas. And therefore, it should say in the brisa, michvas eish, ein li ele shenichva be'eish, or begachalas, because gachalas is an eish equivalent. That I know from Mikvasesh. Nichva Beremetz v'sidrei seach and all the others minayin. Oh, once I learned the Bryce in that fashion, then Gecheles is Haitian. Haitian Gecheles are basically synonymous. Then the Kasha doesn't even
start.
It's a non-starter because of the fact that the Nichva, the extra Nichva, comes to include those other things. Not Gecheles is automatically Beish. So then it's fine. Then Sliyesh by Karm Pesach automatically includes the Gecheles. So that's an easy fix, if you will. Getting back to our Gemara, Chumul Ravina Amar Kreich V'Toni Nichvas Eish Eni Yel Nichvas Eish Uvi Gacheles Nichvas Beremetz V'Sirei Seich Etc. Minayin Tamaloy Me Nichvas Nichvas Riva. So all we did is we moved over the word Nichvas one word, and then the Kasha doesn't even begin. Rava Rami, Rava asks now a Kasha on Rebbe. Rava Rami Mi Amar Rebbe Gecholim Ikrui Eish. You're telling me that Gecholim is also called fire. Rami. Now I have another time that the Torah refers to Gecholim, and specifically to Gachlei Esh. Where do we find the Inyan of Gachlei Esh? If you go down to Torah Ora Sholim number 3, V'lokach Malei Amachta Gachlei Esh Me'al Mizbeach. Oh, this is the pasuk that deals with all of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. What does he do? He takes a Malei Amachta, a fire pan, Gachli Eish, and in it he has a whole bunch of charcoals of Eish, of fire. Me'al Mizbeach. And then he takes Mechofnav, Tersandaka, he brings me Beis Laparoiches, and everybody knows that's one of the most difficult avoidis in the Beis HaMikdash, to go and be Makta Victorious in Yom Kippur, holding the fire pan in one hand, and then you have the other Mechofnav in the other. Very difficult Malacha. Anyway, difficult avoidis. So what does it say in the pasuk? Gachli Eish. Okay, so now, what is it? Gachli Eish? What's this double lashon? Look, I'm only a machta gacholim or eish. This is kachli eish. Zokti Gemara yet. Zokti Gemara. Rabbi Rami mi Amar Rabbi gacholim ikri eish or mini gachli. If it would only say the word gachli, we mean if it would only say gacholim, gachli on its own, that wouldn't make sense because gachli eish means charcoals of fire. So if we just say the word gachli meaning gacholim, yochel oyimais. I would think even if you have gacholim that are already cooling off and are almost on the brink of extinction, or they're almost extinguished. Okay, so it means that they're already cooled off, they're no longer hot, flackering type of gecholim, they're cooling off. I might think that those would be sufficient. That's why the pasuk says, no, gachli eish. And what does gachli eish mean? That it's not enough just to be Gachle, just oinemois, but they have to be what we call loichshois. Loichshois means that they're boyarois, that they are firedik, that they're really fiery charcoals. Aha. If it would only say that the Kohen Gadol should bring eish, Yochoshel Heves, I might think he has to go and bring a flame without any gecholim and without any fuel, just the flame itself. And the Gemara is going to ask naturally in a few lines, how is it possible that you can go and transport just a flame alone? Exactly. So we're going to talk about that shortly. So if we would just say H, I would think just bring the flame. Oh, no. It's got to be Gecholim. So okay, so how do you do that? Combination of Gachle H comes to tell you that it's got to be fiery coals and not cooling off coals and not just a flame. Frankly, more of a goof kasha. I have an internal inconsistency. Amri Gachle, we started off the Braisa by saying, I would think Gachle Yochel Oimemois, I would think cooling off Gecholim. Alma, by the Gemara, saying, Tamaloimer Gat, Tamaloimer Eish, right? The Gemara said, Yochel, I would think Oimemois, Tamaloimer Eish. Alma Loichres Eishnenu. By the fact that the Gemara is answering Tamalim Eish, it's saying not Gecholim Oimemois, but Gecholim Loich Shois. As long as they're fiery, charcoal, we're fine. Ain't the same, and then it continues on. E Eish, if it says Eish, Yochel Shel Heves, I would think that means a flame. Tamalim Gachle. Therefore, Alma Afilu Loich Shois Lav Eish Nenu. By the fact that the Gemara says, if it says Eish, I would think it's Shel Heves. No, why would I think it's Shalhevis? I just finished saying that the word Eish implies, as one of its definitions, Gecholim Loich Shois. So why would I think that the Torah is just Makbedon, should be fire? I just said a moment ago that the purpose of the Eish is to tell you not Oimimois, but Loich Shois. So that's what it means. So why Yochel Shalhevis? Muzdach Zayin, that the Gemara's have a minute in the Sefer is, that Eish, that Loich Shois does not constitute Eish, only Shalhevis the way I get back to loyshe is because tamalei megachle. Ama afel loyshe is ulta lav eish nenu. So make up your mind. Does eish include gecholim loyshe or does it not? V'yomer Rav Sheshes, hachitani. Therefore, I have to learn the braise a little bit differently. Gachle, if we just say gachle alone, yochel bein oymois bein loyshe, I would think that this implies either cooling off coat or a fiery coat. Tamalayma Eish, that's why Eish comes to tell you only Loich Shois and not Oymemois. Eish, if it says fire, Yochel shall have this, then I would think it's a flame. Tamalayma Gachle. Gachle comes to tell you, no, it's Loich Shois. Okay, so how does that work together? Maimon Loich Shois. You bring from the Loich Shois, and with this you're Mekayim both the Inyan of the Gachle, that you don't need the shalheves, and you're mekayim the eish to tell you not oymemois but loichshoyz, and therefore you bring gecholim loichshoyz. But one thing I see, mikomokim gecholim leikri eish, but I see that gecholim alone is not called eish. So in bazoi, freik tigmara is kashul Rebbe. Rebbe said in the Omer Aleph that the tzli eish of the Karim Pesach includes gecholim. I see that that's not the case. It's only because it says gach le'eish that includes the gecholim loich shoyz. But eish alone, I would think, would be dafke shal heves. Here just says tzli eish. It doesn't say gach le'eish. So how do you know gecholim is a good tzli eish substitute according to Rebbe? Omer Abayit Ritzachi. You have to go and learn the braise again a little bit differently. Gachle yochel oymemois v'loy loichshoyz. I would think there's a kpeda. If it only would say gecholim, it means dafka those types of gecholim that are almost on the brink of getting extinguished. V'loy loichshoyz, but not fiery. Tamalom eish. No, the eish tells you he's got to be fiery. Eish yochel rotzeh shalheves yavi rotzeh gecheles yavi. I would think that eish is susceptible to both definitions. Either shall have as a burning flame, or burning gecholim loich shoyz. Tamaloimer gachlei. That's why we need the gachlei to tell you, no. It's not a choice between a flame or hat gecholim. It's got to be dafka hat gecholim gachlei eish. Okay, it's a name and a loich shoyz. Ah, so it's got to be dafka from loich shoyz. So bottom line is, so the word eish does include gachli, not like Rav Sheshes said before that zolkadaita chamina gachli only. That eish only means shalheves, and that's why you have to have gachli to limit it and say no, not shalheves. But it really means gecholim loich shoyz. But rather, the way Abai is now learning is, if it would only say eish, I would say that the two definitions of eish, it could be either the shalheves or the gacheles. Tamaloi mergachle, the taka, this eish is only one of the two, not shalheves, but dafka gachelis. But what do I see, taka, the way Abai is learning? That the word eish could include gachelis. So that's how Rebbe would learn, that when it says tli eish, it could include, and it does include, gachelis. Why don't they say it's shalheves? Because of the fact that here it says gachle eish, and there it doesn't. So the attacker shall have this would work. But it's liesh. If it's on the spit and it's getting the fire that's going and roasting it, that's fine. And if you put it on top of the gecholim on the floor of the oven and they're roasting that way, that's also fine. Both of them are eish, and everything works out beautifully. But let's get back to the question that we noted before, and that is, we said, how could there be half a minute you're going to bring in a flame? Can you go and carry a flame on your hand? So Amar Rabba, on the side says, Amar Rabba, Rotze gacheles yavi, Rotze shalheves yavi. Shalheves b'le gacheles heich mishkachos. How can you have a shalheves without a gacheles? That doesn't make sense. Everyone can you shafya lemona mishcha, the itli bay nura. Oh, what you're talking about is you go and take a kli, you smear on a little bit of grease, a little bit of oil, type of oil, not, we don't mean salad oil, but type of oil that burns. It's the benura. Now take a match and light it, and you see, ooh, all of a sudden a flame comes up. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but when I was a young kid, my father, Zechon Levrucha, from time to time on Matzah Shabbos, would make havdula on schnapps instead of on wine, as a wine substitute. And afterwards, when you normally go and pour out the liquid, the wine, in this case the schnapps, onto the flame of the Havdalah candle, instead of extinguishing it, the whole kli, there started a fire because of the alcohol content of the schnapps. If you don't believe it, try it out at home when you get home. Anyways, the point is that there was no fuel over there. In fact, that fire went out after 5 or 10 seconds, but at least initially there was that fire. So that's the flame that we're talking about. That there's no gecheles, it's just that little smearing of the kli that has on it the burning flame. And so I might think that you yoytze with that, the Kohen Gadol could go in one hand bring such a kli, which is smeared with a little bit of oil that has a flame. Maybe that would be sufficient for purposes of burning the ketores on Yom Kippur. So that's the Yochel Rotze Shalheves. Frank Timura, although mechanically that works, but it doesn't work mitzad the mitzvah of the Kohen Gadol. Frank Timura, Hu Lama Likra, do I really need a pasuk to go and deny and eject or reject that thought of the Shalheves? Do I need a Kralamute? If you had a Melech Bas V'dam, and the way to go and honor him would be to go and bring Christ torches or lights, or Christ for a happy birthday or something like that, would you just go and bring Kalim that momentarily will have the flames, and then shortly thereafter they're all going to get extinguished on their own? Marach, you wouldn't do that for Melech Bas V'dam. If they Melech Malach and Loch, Baruch Hu, like Koshkein, is there half a minute to go and bring these type of temporary flames? That doesn't make sense.
Also, he has to bring it from the top of the Mizbeach all the way in.
It's going to go out. Sure.
It's going to burn off.
Exactly. You have to again take the words of the Brice a little bit differently. I would go and think their coals which are about to get extinguished, but not fiery coals. Not shalheves alone. Shalheves alone. Passes even from Melech Bas Medam. But rather we're going talking about a situation where you have in the same kli, this machvas, half of the machvas is gacheles, and half of it is shalheves. Half meaning there aren't too many gecholim left, because the gecholim that you have are on the brink of extinction, almost totally extinguished, because of the fact that they've already been burning for 5 hours or whatever, so they're all white, and they're almost at their end. But there's a nice flame. And guess what? By the time it goes from the Mizbeach in the Azar, goes up the steps into the Ulam and into the Heichal, by that point, the Shalheves will have gone out, and you only have the Cholim left. I would say maybe that also is a proper way of doing things. At the time that you take it off the Mizbeach, don't have half shalevis, half gecholim, but instead, everything that you take off should be gecholim. And that's how I dash in the pasuk, and therefore, says the Gemara, then you don't have your problem that solkadai techamina shalevis alone. That's not a half a minute. But a question of with half shalevis, half gecholim, also not, it's got to be total gachlei esh. Iboilahu. We've been talking about this whole time about gecholim oimim mois. Gecholim oimim mois. In our Gemara, it's spelled with an I. But as we know, the Gemara is just codifying Turdish Baal Peh.
Right.
So maybe the word Oymois is spelled with an Aleph and not with an I. And how do I know that the printers did a good job by putting an I? Maybe it should be an Aleph. Oymois, Oymois. If you remember, we had this Gemara already earlier, back in Masechtas Shabbos. The Gemara asked similar questions. Over there was, for instance, the Gabi, if a person was transporting in Ushasarabim Mashke, how much Mashke are you over if you're carrying Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says over there, it says Kedei Gimia. Kedei Gimia means one swallow. The Gemara asked over there, what is Gimia? Is it spelled with an Aleph or spelled with an Ayin? Says the Gemara, I'll bring your Ayin from the Pasuk. Hagmieni no, liat mayim mikadech, which says the Gabe Rivka and Gabe Eliezer. Hagmieni no, so Hagmieni, they're spelled with an Aleph. That's how you know Aleph. The Gemara asked another number of such questions, whether it's Aleph or Ayin, and this is one of the questions. What is this referring to? It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and it's talking about the beauty and grandeur of Hiram, who was a melech, and it says that Hiram was so shame. Rashi brings a Hiram melech tzor. I guess he must have been a very handsome individual. That arozim, even these tall cedar trees, they could not dim that splendor of the Chiram Melech Tzor, even Megan Elakim in a place like Gan Eden, which is so beautiful, a garden. Gee, he was so handsome. If you look at the Rashi, third wide line, Arazal and Memul, like he ko es marisoi, they didn't dim the brightness, the light. Certain MR that he was more beautiful, you compared him to a beautiful cedar tree, Chiram won out because of his natural beauty. Anyway, what do I see from the pasuk? It's written with an ayin and not with an aleph. So here too, ayin is with ayin. So here's also talking about gecholim, which are about to dim because they're no longer fiery; they're about to get extinguished. So also with an ayin. See, they said in the Smedish today that today is the yard site of the Kotzker. So in fact, there's a very famous vort of the Kotzker in the beginning of Parshas Emor. It says, "Emor lekahanim bnei Aharon." Make sure that the kahanim that have to do the avodah, they shouldn't become tmeim. Why is it ba'amav? The mutei meis mitzvah that they're allowed to. But ba'amav, if they're among the folk with plenty of chaver kedisha to take care of a mess, they're not allowed to be metame. That's the poshut pshat and every time ba'amav. But the Kotzke said, no, that's not the pshat. We know the Gemara says a kahanim is reason. Hey, this reason doesn't mean they just keep on running back and forth like wild mice running. It means that they do the avodah with a tremendous excitement, with a tremendous hislahavus, with a tremendous exuberance. We tell the kahanim that's the way you do the avodah. Don't do it with gecholim oimemois. Don't allow your excitement and your exuberance and yislahavus to cool off and to go and do the avodah by rote. Not here in this mismatch, but in Alaska, there are minyanim where the entire davening goes 1, 2, 3. Somebody told me that they asked, how long is your davening in your shul? He says, it's just like matzah mitzvah. What do you mean, matzah mitzvah? 18 minutes from brachas until aleinu. It's 18 minutes. He said, our mismatch would go a little bit longer.
I'm stunned that anybody davens that quickly.
Unfortunately. Anyway, that's...
I said they're just davening, but they're just whatever. Davening the tefillah, but they think they're davening.
Exactly. So that's the pasuk he's telling you, says the Kotzker. Tell the Kahanim, Lenefesh Leitama Be'amav, don't be metami and ever, don't profane your grace and neshama, your holy neshama, in doing avoid the Beis Midrash, Be'amav with Kicholim Oymemois, with colds that are about to get extinguished, but it should rather be loich shoyis mit afayim with a bren. You should go and do the avodas Hashem. And that's of course a good lesson for all of us, not only for kahanim the Beis Midrash.
There's the outside the Kotzker.
Exactly.
We said tachlin.
If somebody would have given tikkun, we would have strongly considered omitting tachlin. But under the circumstances, what can we do? We are never honest al piyad diba. So we continue on the next Mishnah. We'll just finish a few lines. Zok the Mishnah. Noga becherusoi shol tanur. As we know from the previous Mishnah, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, it's got to be Tzliesh. That's why you don't even put it on a Shpud Shel Barzel or Matkes. It's got to be Dabke of wood. Okay, now ovens, especially in those days, were made out of Cheres, made out of earthenware. I don't know about many of our ovens today are made out of metal. But in that time it was made out of Cheres. Okay, so what happens to the Korban Pesach? Was a large Korban Pesach. The oven was relatively small, and guess what? It touched the wall of the tanner. And by touching the wall of the tanner, it got the heat of the wall of the tanner. So nishkat sliyesh. Now it's sli machmes dover acher. No, becheres v'shel tanner. Yikluf is mekayim. You have to do a klipa. Klipa means you just cut off. You peel off a very thin, thin layer, and you have to burn it, and you cannot eat it because that's not sliyesh. Not a miroid for yalaches, v'chazer eilav. What happens if some of the roitz, if some of the gravy of the Korban Pesach spilled onto the klicheres, and then it somehow jumped back, v'chazer eilav, splashed back onto the carbon itself? Yitoil is mekayme. Rashi says this is already more than yikloif. This is yitoil. What's the reason why? Because since it splashed, there's shuman in it, and those fats, those are boileya much more quickly and much more deeply into the Korban Pesach. It's belua more, nivla more.
So not just surface, you got to dig it out.
You got to dig it out. It's a deeper removal. Not a miroid for alasoilus. What happens if the soilus and some of the gravy gets spilled onto that soilus? Now what happens? And the soilus is also very, very hot, and therefore as a result, it's causing that roitz not to be a tzliyesh, but the tzli machmas the soilus. Then that upper layer of the soilus where you have that hot roitiv, you can't eat from that roitiv because it's not tzliyesh. So again, you have to remove it. You do it like a kmitza, remove the top.
Excuse me, where's the solus? I mean, we're talking about inside a...
It came out of the oven, still burning hot.
Okay,
and
oh,
some gravy spilled on the solus, okay. And that gravy is still cooking, because the solus itself is very, very hot. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't hot, it's not a problem, because it's tzli machmas dovarach. Machmas dovarach is talking about the solus. If you look at Rashi, four lines at the bottom, not the right to the solus, but farsh b'gemara, the solus reisachas, the matfi roitfoy, the roitiv is cooking, so you have to go and remove that top because it's not tliyesh. Okay, so getting back to argument. What happens if you took and you basted the carbon with shemen truma?
Right.
Now, although it says in the pasuk that you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to cook it in another liquid, however, you're allowed to baste it with a liquid. We had this in the Mishnah earlier on in our Masechta. So what happens if you shmir it with shemen truma? Not a problem, that's okay. But the problem is, im chaburis kahanim yoichl, after all the kahanim. Im shal Yisrael, if you're talking about Yisraelim, im chayhu, if you basted it before you put it into the oven so it's still raw, yadichal, so then go and just rinse it off. However, im tzlihu, however, if it's already roasted and you put the shemen on top, now you got a problem, it's going to be boleya from that shemen truma.
Again, it's kedushas truma.
Yeah, the din of truma now, only kahanim can eat it. So yiklef as a chitzen, again, go and peel off the outer layer so you don't have an issue. When I'm a soch of a shemen shel maaser sheni, you didn't go and shmir on truma oil, but you put on maaser sheni oil, of course, in Yerushalayim, because you brought the carbon Pesach.
Right.
Now, the person who happens to be the Roisha Chabura tells all of the Bnei Chabura, Rabbeisai, each one of you paid $10 or whatever the amount was for a kzayis of the carbon Pesach. But guess what? It's very tasty this year. Did you notice? It really tastes good, much better than previous years. You know why? Because I basted it with shemen shel maaser sheni. Now that shemen shel maaser sheni, that cost me a nice arm and a leg. It cost me a lot of money. I want to charge everybody an extra dollar for that shemen. So Timur Liyasen Adam, he's not going to charge them of the chabura. Why she'ein, here it says poiden, you have another girsa on the side from the Bach, ein moichrin, maaser sheni b'yushalayim. They both have the same import, that the halacha is that if you want to go and sell or you want to be poydim maaser sheni, you can only do that outside Yerushalayim. The lone exception that you can do a pidyon inside Yerushalayim is when if it became tamei. But here we're not talking about a carbon paste tamei, we're talking about a carbon paste which brought the kedusha of the tahara. So you have no right to go and sell the shemen shel maaser sheni. It looks like a form of pidyon, and therefore you're not allowed to go and do that, and you cannot charge them for the shemen shel maaser sheni.
Do you know what time Moshe Shabbos you want to teach?
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yitzhak Zagibesh.